Good morning. It's great to be worshiping God with the Ottawa Church and the Newmarket Church and the Halifax Church. I hope that you're doing well. I hope that you're healthy. I hope that you're encouraged by our service so far. You may have heard this past week, the Premier of Ontario, Doug Ford, announced that we're going to be entering into a phase two reopening. And what that means is that a lot of businesses that were unable to operate, like hair salons and restaurants, they're going to be opening their doors for business. Now, we understand that this recovery is going to take some time. But a lot of people are very, very eager to start the rebuilding process to get the economy back on its feet. This morning, I'd like us to take a look at a different kind of reopening. The title of our lesson is Ready to Rebuild. And we're going to learn about how the people of God courageously moved forward after a very devastating ordeal. We're not going to find any answers on how to start a struggling economy, but we will find some people who had amazing hearts, who were ready and eager to serve God. We're going to go into the book of 2 Kings and start here in chapter 24. In verse 10, it says, "At that time, the officers of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, advanced on Jerusalem and laid siege to it. And Nebuchadnezzar himself came up to the city while his officers were besieging it." At this time in Israel's history, the southern kingdom known as Judah experienced a horrific atrocity. The officers of Nebuchadnezzar, the armies of the king of Babylon, came and they laid siege to the city of Jerusalem. And what happened is, he did a lot of terrible, terrible things to the people there. He mercilessly killed the elderly, the young men, and the young women. He burned down the temple of God, which was a revered place of worship. Precious religious artifacts were confiscated. The protective walls around the city were broken down and turned into a pile of rubble. All the palaces were burned down and everything of value was destroyed. Could you imagine if this happened in the city where you live? Where some foreign power, some foreign nation came in and laid siege, killed people, took away everything of value, burned down your special monuments. The siege in Jerusalem marked the start of 70 years of desolation. That's not a very good word. Now, this wasn't isolation. That's a word that we've heard a lot in the last few months. Many of us have been self-isolating because of COVID-19. But people weren't under stay-at-home orders. The desolation that took place was an almost complete destruction of their community, their culture, and their very way of life. Not only that, but the people were carried into exile. And this wasn't quarantine. This was deportation. They were getting expelled from their homeland. They were separated from their loved ones. We've been feeling that a little bit because of the social distancing measures that we've taken. But their social distancing wasn't 6 feet. They were actually 1,500 kilometers apart. The entire city of Jerusalem wasn't just temporarily locked down for a short time. It was permanently burned to the ground. You know, for many of us, a few months of restrictions has been incredibly challenging. We haven't been able to see some of our loved ones. We haven't been able to visit. I know that I haven't been able to see my mother and my father for several months because we're practicing social distancing. We want to make sure that we mitigate the spread of the coronavirus. And it's been very, very challenging. We can't hang out with our friends. We can't just go and have a barbecue and watch a movie together. But could you imagine 70 years of this? Now, fortunately, the story isn't all doom and gloom. There was a time of 70 years of desolation. But then God moved in an incredible way. And we're going to continue reading in the book of Ezra in chapter 1. In verse 2 it says, This is what Cyrus, king of Persia, says. The Lord, the God of heaven, has given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he has appointed me to build a temple for him at Jerusalem in Judah. Any of his people among you may go up to Jerusalem in Judah and build the temple of the Lord, the God of Israel, the God who is in Jerusalem, and may their God be with them. So after 70 years, God moved the heart of this guy named Cyrus, and he was at this time the king of Persia. And he made this proclamation, similar to Doug Ford's announcement to reopen Ontario. He made this proclamation, and he allowed any of God's people to go to Jerusalem to assist in building the temple. This was an amazing thing, because not only could they return to their ancestral home, they had a chance to rebuild and restore the house of God. For 70 years, the people were unable to offer sacrifices on the altar of God. They were unable to worship their God at the temple. What did they feel when they heard this news, when they heard this announcement? What was running through their minds? You know, it makes me think of how we may be feeling as our province begins to reopen. I don't know about you, but I'm excited about getting a haircut. I'm excited about maybe meeting some friends at a restaurant in an outdoor patio. We go for walks almost every day at a local park that's very close by. And there's this one restaurant that's got one of the best patios in our town, right beside the park. And as we walked by it the other day, I just thought to myself, wow, this is going to be so awesome. This restaurant's going to open for sure, and it's probably going to have a lot of people going there because it's got one of the best patios around. And we're excited that we're going to get a chance to go out and connect. You know, I think if we multiply our excitement, maybe by 1,000, maybe more, that might be close to how these people felt. You got to remember, they were exiled for 70 years. They were separated from loved ones for 70 years. And now all of a sudden, this door opened up. So what did the people do when they heard this announcement? Let's keep reading in Ezra 1 in verse 5. Then the family heads of Judah and Benjamin, and the priests and Levites, everyone whose heart God had moved, prepared to go up and build the house of the Lord in Jerusalem. All their neighbors assisted them with articles of silver and gold, with goods and livestock, and with valuable gifts in addition to all the freewill offerings. Many people, when they heard this announcement, they decided that they were going to go. I don't think anyone was forced. I certainly don't think anyone was threatened, hey, you better go or else. These people wanted to go. Their hearts were ready to go back. The Bible says everyone whose heart God had moved prepared to go up and build the house of the Lord. Even their neighbors who had to stay for whatever reason, they were willing to pay for the rebuilding of the temple. And so they gave gold, they gave silver, they gave some goods and animals, gifts and money. These were resources that were going to be needed in order to bring back a temple long gone. After being disconnected from true worship for so long, they were ready. They were willing. They were eager to restore the temple of God. In many ways, by doing this, they were restoring their connection with God. They didn't want to be exiles anymore, living in a foreign land. They wanted their city back. And most importantly, they wanted to restore the glory of their God. Now, what exactly is a ready heart? Well, I believe that a ready heart is one that's eager to serve God. It's a heart that's eager to love people, to help people. It's a heart that's eager to do the work of the Lord and eager to restore the glory of God. And not because we have to, but because we want to. Not because we're told, but because we believe. We live by faith. We want to do what is right in the eyes of God. How do we know if our hearts are ready to do the work of the Lord? Well, like the people that we just read about, if our hearts are ready, we also will go up and build. What does that mean? It means that we're going to go and commit our time. We're going to use our energy and resources to go and do the work of God. Now, for us as Christians, we know very clearly what that means because we believe in spreading the good news of Jesus. We believe in preaching the word. And what does that mean? It doesn't mean that we want to be preachy. It means we're going to be people reaching. We're going to go and invite people into our homes. Of course, with caution these days. But we're going to go and encourage people. We're going to go and serve people. We're going to bring meals to people. And we're going to go and tell people about Jesus and the Word of God. The people of Judah and Benjamin, the priests and the Levites and everyone else, that's what they did. They wanted to go up and build the temple. They were willing to do the work. You know, as Christians, sometimes our heart isn't ready. And sometimes we end up making excuses for why we can't do the work. I know that I've struggled with that at different times in my Christian walk, in my Christian journey. It's not always easy, because the work of a Christian is to be like Jesus, is to go out there and make sacrifices and do it for other people. You're sacrificing for the benefit of someone else. That's exactly what Jesus did when he died on the cross. He didn't get a special reward or a special incentive by dying on the cross. We were the ones that benefited. We're the ones that benefited from his love and his grace and his mercy. And so as Christians, that can be challenging, because to do God's work, it does take sacrifice. We've got to sacrifice time. Even when we're tired, we've got to go out there and teach someone the Bible or invite someone to church. But sometimes we can struggle with excuses. You know, I'm too busy with homework. Or, hey, I'm a parent, so I got a lot on my plate. I don't have that much time. I've got a super busy job. I'm super stressed out. I just can't do it right now. Maybe later. You know, sometimes we're so exhausted from work, we just want to go home, turn on the television, turn on our computers, just watch Netflix and relax. And so we got to ask ourselves, do we have ready hearts? Yeah, I'm really inspired by the hearts of my wife and my children and my daughters. Even during the lockdown, it's been amazing to see them studying the Bible with several young women. And it's such a new thing, because we're so used to meeting people at a Tim Hortons or meeting on campus and actually meeting face to face with an open Bible and doing these Bible studies that we have in the church. And so it's been a whole new experience to actually do Bible studies on the Zoom platform. But it's been amazing. This technology has allowed us to connect in an incredible way. Despite a very hectic work schedule, my wife has been teaching the Bible to young women almost every day. And even a provincial shutdown or a global pandemic could not stop my daughters from sharing their faith, from connecting with people, wanting to love them, and inspiring their friends to know God. I'm really blessed to have such faithful women and deep convictions, who have deep convictions around me. But here's a question that I want to ask you. What has God put on your heart right now? As our province opens up, are we excited? Are we excited to go shopping? Or are we excited to go sharing? Do we want to shop for some stuff? Or do we want to go and share the good news of Jesus? Maybe we're eager to go back to work. We may have experienced a layoff or reduced hours. And we're eager to go back to work. That's awesome. But are we also eager to do God's work? Do we have ready hearts? Hearts that are eager to restore the glory of God. Now, you may be wondering, why are we talking about this? Why are we talking about restoring God's glory? Well, as you know, our world is in chaos right now. There are so many situations all around the world. There's so much evil around us that's happening. So much injustices that are happening. I believe we need God more than ever. Our world needs God more than ever. And one of the ways that people will come to understand who God is and how awesome God is if you and I, as followers of Jesus, if you and I pick up our Bibles and we focus on restoring His glory. We don't do it for ourselves. We already have our reward in heaven, amen? But we do it because we want God's name to be glorified. We want people to know how awesome God is. This morning, I want to ask you to please pray for something that God has put on my heart. And I'll be honest with you, I was resisting this for a number of months, perhaps even years. But one thing that we decided, myself and my family, was that we were going to start what we call a campus initiative. And one of the reasons I was a little hesitant is because I served as a campus minister for many, many years when I was younger. I kind of felt like I had finished that part of my life. I had moved on. I'm now leading a smaller congregation in the Newmarket area. I've got a lot of responsibilities with that. I want to make sure that our church is strong and healthy and well taken care of. And this was going to be more work. This was going to be more time. And I'm kind of old, to be honest with you. I'd have to go and hang out with younger people. And I realized I'm just not cool anymore. And so I was hesitant to do this. But I feel like God has put this on my heart to start a campus initiative. Why do we do this? Because we believe, my wife and I, we believe young people are absolutely the future of our church. We call them the next generation of disciples. Without young people, our church will eventually die off. And so we must figure out, how do we reach millennials? How do we reach these younger people in this digital age? So one of the things that we did is we started a training class. Very simple. Every Monday night, we decided that we're going to teach them some basics, some foundational studies to equip them to teach the Bible to their friends. At the same time, we started hosting weekly online devotionals to get post-secondary students connected and unified. A month ago, we started a weekly leadership training class to educate and empower our student leaders. We were so excited that we were able to actually start an internship program in Newmarket with the support of the disciples. I appreciate them so much for their sacrifice. But I also heard Hamilton has been able to hire some interns for the summer as well. And I was so excited to hear just from Tony a couple days ago that Ottawa also has been able to hire summer interns. That's amazing. I believe that is God working. I truly believe investing in our young people is one of the most important. It's one of the greatest investments we can ever make. I want to ask you, please pray that God will work through our students, our young people, to rebuild robust campus ministries. I want you to ask you to pray that God will use us, the older generation, to help train these young men and women to continue to have the vision that God wants us to have to build a great kingdom. Please pray that God will also allow us to find and train future ministry staff. One of our realities right now is that our ministers are growing older, and we have got to start finding young men and young women to train who will eventually succeed us, who will continue doing the work. Even large corporations know they've got to bring in young talent. They've got to bring in young people. They've got to bring in the brightest and the smartest. We want to do the same, but we also want those with the greatest hearts to come in and serve in the ministry. And it takes investment. It takes prayers. It takes faith for us to do something like this. There's a hymn written by M.W. Spencer. You may have heard it, called "Lord, Send Me." I won't sing it for you. I'll spare you that. But it goes like this. There is much to do. There's work on every hand. Hark, the cry for help comes ringing through the land. Jesus calls for reapers. I must active be. What wilt thou, O Master? Here am I. Send me. I think you would agree with me, there is a lot of work for us to do. And the question we gotta ask ourselves is, are we ready? Are we ready to rebuild? Here's one thing I've learned recently. No one is ever fully ready to do the work that God calls us to do. But that shouldn't stop us from moving forward. I learned this lesson actually because earlier in the year, my wife and I, we decided that we were going to do a pretty significant renovation on our house. We hired the contractors, we made our deposit, we packed up our belongings, we even moved out of our house temporarily for about 6 weeks so that the contractors could come in and do all of their work without us. And we started essentially demolishing the house on February the 1st. And I gotta tell you, we really thought we were ready. We thought we had it well planned out. We thought that we could handle this. And then guess what happened? COVID-19 hit. And it hit really hard. What we discovered is that many of the suppliers had to close their doors, and so we couldn't find materials. At one point, our contractors weren't even allowed to come into our house to do the work. We had a difficult time sourcing out materials. But we couldn't quit. We had to keep moving forward. We couldn't leave our house in a demolished state. This was our home. And my wife, she's like a pit bull. She was calling the contractors every single day to get them to come in and do the work. We had to finish what we started. And it was stressful. There was a lot of stress. There were numerous delays. It was messy. There was dust in our house all the time. There were so many headaches. But I can honestly say that today, those things are a distant memory. Now that the renovation is completed, all we see is the finished product. And it's awesome. And we love it. We feel like we're living in a brand new house, but we're in our old neighborhood with all of our old neighbors. It's awesome. It made me realize, maybe we're not always ready for the work, but that shouldn't stop us from moving forward. We gotta keep moving forward and finish what we start. Did God's people finish what they start? Well, let's see what happened in Ezra 3. We're going to close in Ezra 3. In verse 3, it says, despite their fear of the peoples around them, they built the altar on its foundation and sacrificed burnt offerings on it to the Lord, both the morning and evening sacrifices. You know, I really love the hearts of these people. It doesn't say that they were afraid. It doesn't say here that they weren't afraid. What it says is that they didn't give in to their fear. They did rebuild the altar and eventually the temple. They were determined to get back to worshiping the Lord. Nothing was going to stop them from getting connected to God. Nothing was going to stop them from worship. And I think this is such a great reminder for us to do the same, to not give in to fear. Even if the world around us, even if it's falling apart, even though it's in complete chaos, even though it's in shambles, that we don't give in to fear, that we don't give up, that we don't become weary of doing good. And I believe that right now, we've got to continue to do God's work. We've got to be ready to continue to build God's church and restore the glory of God. I don't have a solution for the world's problems per se, but I do know this. With God, we will have solutions. God is the greatest solution we can ever have. Not necessarily to fix our economy or to fix the prejudices of the world, but what it does is it fixes our hearts. It helps us to have the right heart so that we can do the right thing. So please pray for us. Please pray for the New Market Church. Please pray for the campus initiative. As we end our service, we're going to have one last song. It's called Remember Me. And then we're going to join into our groups to take communion together. Brothers and sisters, thank you so much for listening. It's been wonderful to be with you, and God bless. Amen.